When it comes to hard work, there's one important rule. Pick the right tool for the right job. That's why Chevy offers a family of Silverado pickup trucks designed just for the job. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com and put a Silverado in your toolbox.
A lot of fun watching Justin Fields if you saw the Bears game. A lot of fun in general, just the game. I think they led for the first three quarters, right, Kev? They were in the lead. It was looking pretty good. But I heard OB, the great Ed Obradovich, say on the post game, they just couldn't put him away, OB. They could not make that happen. How are you doing this afternoon?
I'm doing fine, Anna. Well, I'll tell you what. There are a couple of bright spots that happened in that game. And one of them that jumped out at myself and Dan Hampton was the fact that they actually moved the pocket. They ran a bootleg to the weak side. They did some strong side. They moved the pocket, trying to be a little creative. I thought that was a good move. In other words, don't let that kid drop back 5 yards, 7 yards, and get pounded. Move the pocket, make it interesting, you know, with the new – just try to get the ball down the field. The other thing, they came back, I thought, which I liked also, they came with some play action, which they very seldom do. So the bootlegs, moving the pocket, the play action, I thought that was a good thing. And also the other thing I liked, when Fields came off the field, normally he sits on a bench or he's wandering around on the sidelines, and not one coach is talking to him, sitting down with the tablet, going over, let's say he just was in and they went three downs and out. You know, what he's got to do is come back down, see his coach, get on the bench, go over the tablet, and find out what happened in those prior three downs. And I saw that with DeFilippo. He sat down and they were talking, communicating. They had the tablet. He's showing him. So the big thing I took out of it was finally we bootlegged, we moved the pocket, we came with some play action. And the kid on the sidelines, when he was off the field, he was communicating with his coaches, which is so very, very important. Now, Anna, the things I didn't like. In the first half, you know, we're a 3-4 team. We settled for three field goals. We've got to go. We've got to get touchdowns. You can't constantly, game after game, year after year, just think you're going to win a game by kicking a field goal, kicking a field goal, kicking a field goal. You got to go after them and put people away. And the second thing that I didn't like, and this really jumped out at us, was San Francisco, their defense, they had 10 tackles against us for losses. Now, that's almost impossible to do. But we got 10 times we got nailed behind our own line of scrimmage. And the other thing, again, what all does that mean? What does it come down to? Their San Francisco punter never punted. He never punted in the game. So it was there's good things. It's finally to see. They're going to move the pocket. They're going to get Fields more involved. I like that very much. But they've got to scheme a little bit better. They've got to figure out how to get our five offensive linemen with the one tight end or a two tight end or a three tight end set or a six lineman. You've got to get that all more involved. Because why, Anna? Because the five guys we have cannot get the job done, period.
Hey, OB, I'm curious your thoughts on why Fields and Allen Robinson haven't really built a strong connection yet. You know, we've seen Robinson's put up big numbers in bad Bears offenses over the past few years, but there seems sort of a disconnect between those two. Is that it was a lack of reps maybe early on in camp or earlier in the season, but Robinson only had 4 targets, 3 receptions. He's a weapon. I think if they get him involved a little bit more, that could help this offense. But why do you think that hasn't really developed yet between Fields and Robinson?
Well, it's the offensive coordinator and it's the head coach. And it's the offensive line coach. It's the tight ends coach. It's the receivers coach. They all got to get in these meetings and put a game plan together. And Allen Robinson, I'll tell you right now, I love that kid. That kid, he can get separation. His hands are like glue, and he's almost like the forgotten man. But we really haven't been hitting a lot of people. We haven't. Mooney's starting to catch a couple of what? 4 passes, 3 passes, maybe 5. Cole Kmet caught like 3 or 4. but we're really not a passing team, Kevin. We rely more on the run game than we do with the passing game, and that has to change. But I understand what you're talking about with Allen Robinson. Why does it jump out at you? Because you've got such a quality receiver, and he's such a vital tool in moving that ball down the field and putting points on the board, and we're not using them. Okay, we're not using Goodwin. We're not using a lot of people, Kevin. And it all comes back, and again, why do we only score? We score three field goals in a game in the first half. We don't put a lot of, we're the worst team in the league. We average like about 14 points a game. We're the worst on third down in the entire league. We're almost on the bottom of everything offensively. Now, they settle on Fields. So let's see what happened the first half of the season. Now we've got the second half. Let's see if this coaching staff can get this kid, move him out of the pocket. Don't let him drop back like a statue, play after play, and get pummeled. Okay? We've got a good running game. Incorporate it with play action and go downfield like you're supposed to and utilize the entire field. And if they can do that, if they can do that and move him out of the pocket, that'll help our five offensive linemen, and we'll be able to go down the field, convert on third down, and put some points on the board.
OB, I heard Coach Jimmy Johnson during halftime make the comment that, you know what, it doesn't matter that Nagy's not calling plays. It doesn't matter that because of COVID protocols he's out and not participating, because coaching is Monday through Saturday as much as it is Sunday. And I just wonder, do you make anything of his absence and what you saw in that game? He was not part of it, that at least for game day. Do you make anything of that?
No, I don't think that had anything to do with anything. First of all, Azur is the guy calling the plays, you know, and I don't think missing him meant one way or the other, and I really don't. I don't see him as a turning point, a vital person to be there on the sidelines. I don't see it. I've seen him here for 4 years, and almost 4 years, and it's 4 years of too much of Nagy.
Mm-hmm. Still like to see him go. I understand that is you've been very consistent on that. Hey, Justin Fields took a big step forward. A lot of folks felt, and he got us pretty excited at moments. Yes, he's a rookie quarterback. Yes, there's growth there, but there were moments where I think a lot of us got pretty darn excited. OB, how about you?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I think that this kid, and it's really hard to tell, Anna, because we don't do a lot of things that he should be doing, except for we finally showed a little bit of it yesterday. And getting him out of that pocket, get him moving, get everybody moving, get things going downfield, convert on third down. And I think this kid, if they give him his head a little bit and set up a better wide-open game plan for him, and what do I mean by that? Instead of him dropping back, and being a pocket passer, move that kid to the weak side. Move him to the strong side. Slide the line. Go downfield. I mean, there's so many things you could do with this kid. And not only that, but here's the one thing that happens, Anna. Eventually, running quarterbacks, it's only a matter of time before they get cranked. Unfortunately, but that just happens the way it is. So if they can couple this kid with more of a passing game, get him out on the sidelines and go downfield instead of him worrying about him making the first down or worry about him scoring a touchdown. That's not how this game is played. Your running back scored a touchdown. Your receiver scored a touchdown. What does your quarterback do? He hands off and he passes the ball on target to his receivers. That's how you win a football game in the National Football League.
OB, great show as always. Post-game was awesome. And I wonder, did you get out to do anything Halloween-related, trick-or-treating, anything? Did you dress up? What does OB do on Halloween?
I came home and had a glass of wine.
I love it. I'm with you. That's my style. My daughter's young, so we still have to do everything. But you just went home and you relaxed and you deserved it. Didn't dress up, it sounds like, OB. Nothing. You don't get into that anymore?
No, I don't do anything like that. I just have enough problems sometimes trying to walk.
Yeah, I hear you. Well, I'm glad you got to enjoy it. Awesome show, pre and the post game. Next week, it's Monday night, so the show might be on, you're on a different night. So we'll be listening then, and maybe you'll join us different time next week. But
Well, we'll be on Monday night from 6 to 7, and we'll be on right after the game.
All right. Easy enough.
The Monday night game. But let me just leave you with this thought again, Anna.
All right.
I think if they can open this up from this past game, they kind of open it up a little bit, and their coaches are looking and seeing, well, how's he going to handle this? I think the kid handled it pretty well. Now let's open it up a little bit more. Let's go down the field and give this kid the lead. Give him his head. Let him be the man out there. And if they can do that with a good, solid game plan of opening the offense up, I think we're going to have a chance Monday night. I really do.
I like hearing that. Love you, OB. Thank you. Thanks for your
Take
perspective.
Care. Bye.